The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Thank you for joining us here on this, the Frank Sontag Show. We usually begin each hour with our impact segment, but the plan is this hour that we are going to have a guest calling in any moment, and we have reserved the entire hour for the interview. Now, there is a brand new book out, authored by my guest. Many of you know him. In fact, this will give you a little taste of who Daryl Strawberry is.
It's so good. It's so good to be with you guys here today. And, you know, it's to be able to understand that staying in your lane with God is the most important thing. So you can know who you are and you can know God's will for yourself. If we don't stay in our lane, we can never come to the place of being all that God wants us to be. See, I wasn't always like this. Oh, y'all missed that. I wasn't always like this. See, I was a heathen. I was a liar. I was a cheater. I was a womanizer. I was an alcoholic. I was a drug addict. I was rich. I was famous. I was a sinner saved by grace. And when we understand that God's grace is sufficient for all of us, you that have walked in here today or entered in here today could be changed by the same Jesus that changed me. All you got to do is make a commitment. Too many of us don't want to make commitments. We're so consumed with earthly things and so consumed with success, and we think that's what it's all about. Yeah, I had it all, but I had nothing until I met Jesus. Yeah, see, I was a baseball player, and I was hitting home runs and winning championships and made millions of dollars and lived behind the community gates and had everything, but I had nothing till I met Jesus. All that made me was a baseball player, and all that made me was famous and rich. But see, when I met Jesus, that made me a man.
See, so Daryl Strawberry from a past Kingdom Men's Gathering. Daryl has a brand new book out. He is a 7-time Major League Baseball player, 17 seasons. I can go through all the accolades. He still won't let me see one of his World Series rings. That's a story for another time. Brand new book is out. It's entitled Turn Your Season Around, How God Transformed Your Life, written by my guest, Daryl Strawberry. What is up, my brother? How are you?
Frank, my brother from another mother, but we got the same father.
Amen to that. How are you, man? Are you good?
I'm doing well, man. I'm doing well. You know, God is good, and you know, He's allowing me to move back around and starting to travel a little bit and get a little preaching in and save some souls, man. I'm trying to win as many souls as I can before the Lord called me home.
Now, you and I texted a little earlier, and I think it would be apropos to touch on this for a moment. And then, obviously, if we can get you for the hour, we want to talk about your life before Jesus, your life now that's been transformed, about your incredible book, Turn Your Season Around. But we texted a little bit earlier about Tiger Woods, and we have heard he was in a serious car crash earlier today, sustained injuries to his legs, surgeries, etc. And you had texted me what? Share with the listeners.
Well, I'm just, you know, I realize that it's going to happen to all of us. One day, you know, it's going to come where it's going to be something happen. It could be a tragedy, or, you know, our God's going to call us home in a sickness that occurred to all of us. Someone was going to die from cancer or whatever it may be. But, you know, my question, you know, for a lot of people like me that was living in a celebrity lifestyle, is your heart right with God? You know, and I think that's the biggest question that we should ask all the people. Is your heart truly right with God? Are you settled right with Him to meet the Maker? And understand, we only get one shot at meeting the Maker. And if my heart is not right with Him, it will mean nothing because they're going to talk about your legacy, what you achieved from the standpoint of playing golf or playing baseball, basketball, football. But I really want my legacy to be left like my mother left for me, that Jesus is Lord, that they will talk about me one day and hopefully say, well, he went on to find God in his life and went on to preach and win souls. And, you know, like Reggie White was talking about. I mean, I admire players that went home to be with the Lord. Reggie White, Gary Carter, you know, guys that had great careers and fame and fortune. But their platform was about Jesus Christ. And I think that's the platform some of these other celebrities need to have in their life, you know, before, you know, something happens in their life and they pass away. And, you know, I just feel for Tiger Woods and I pray for him and his family, just like Kobe Bryant, I pray for him and his family and just wish, you know, that, you know, the Lord Jesus Christ will become the centerpiece of more of our life.
Daryl, how much, and I don't want to use the word necessarily responsibility, maybe blessing, how much of a blessing is it for us as followers of Jesus to talk about the gospel, if you will, with people that don't know him? You made mention of Gary Carter, a man, great baseball career, and we knew him as a man who loved the Lord. There have been many athletes that have been Christians, and you know about it because of the way they live their lives. But what about the people like around Tiger, if you will, golfers that are Christian? What about the blessing of sharing the Lord with others that don't know him?
I think it's so important, you know, for us to be bold about the gospel of Jesus Christ and these times that we're living in, because it looks like these are the end times, you know, that we're living in. It's going to come to a place where God's going to have said he's had enough and he's going to send Jesus back in the rapture, you know, to come get the church and leave the rest here. And it's going to be so many folks left behind. They don't believe it. They don't think it's going to ever happen. They say, yeah, well, that's just a bunch of talk. You know, God's going to eventually get, like I said, he's going to get fed up with what earthly things are being done and living any kind of way and saying any kind of thing and tooting our horns about how great we are and never talking about his wonderful son that he sent here for all of us. That's the Savior. He's the Messiah. He's coming to, you know, bring life to us, and we should be bold enough to be able to talk about the gospel regardless of whatever kind of pushback we get from people, because I've been getting pushback ever since I've had a transformation, and they're talking about, well, yeah, he needed Jesus, but you're going to need Jesus at the end of your life. I don't care who you are. I don't care how much money you have. I don't care what kind of platform you have. If you do not have this personal relationship with Jesus, you will not enter into the kingdom of heaven. God told Nicodemus that in John 3. He told Nicodemus, who was a Pharisee, a teacher, leader, and a very bright man, teaching, leading. He's asking, how is it that one can be born again? Nicodemus was confused. You know, he was thinking it was about the first birth of us, the natural birth. And Jesus had to explain to him, no, one cannot be entered the kingdom of heaven unless he's born again of the Spirit, of the baptism of the Spirit of God that dwells among him, to be able to enter into the kingdom of heaven. Because, see, we got this place in our society that we think when somebody dies and everybody goes, well, he's in paradise, I'll see you up in heaven. You better pick up this book and read this book. I think too many people are not reading this book. And I think the Bible makes it clear. That's why the Bible said my people perish because of lack of knowledge. They don't have any knowledge and understanding. This book is clear about who God is and getting into his kingdom. Is a very serious thing to him. It's a very serious matter to him about us being born of his Spirit, born of his Spirit down here before we can enter into his kingdom.
Daryl Strawberry is my guest for the hour. His brand new book is entitled Turn Your Season Around, How God Transformed Your Life. Now let's talk about the early days of Daryl Strawberry. You were born and raised right here in Southern California. Talk about the younger days of your life, and then obviously we'll get to your new life in Christ, but what about your younger days?
My younger days, Frank, was a real struggle being raised and born in California. I was raised by a beautiful woman, my mother, Ruby Jewel Strawberry. My daughter Jewel is her name. I named my daughter Jewel after my mother, a middle name, because my mother was a beautiful woman that raised five of us, and my father abandoned us. Left us for dead, you know, alcoholic, and just kind of pushed us off to the side. We didn't exist in his life. So unfortunately, you know, we had to experience all that growing up, and I had to be raised by mother, and I come out of Southern California, went to Crenshaw High, grew up in South Central. Of course, I know everything about the streets of L.A. I know about gangs. I know about all that. Grew up in the 60s. I didn't enter into the gangs. I went into sports, but I was troubled as a teen and had all kind of isolated myself from everybody and had all these different feelings about myself inside because I was broken and wounded by my father. And I had this dream of playing baseball, you know, and I saw the Dodgers and I saw them always playing the Cincinnati Reds. And I remember the Reds had this great team with Johnny Bench and Joe Morgan and Tony Perez and all these guys, Foster and Concepcion. I just remember them, how great their players was. And they had this guy by the name of Pete Rose. And I remember Saturday game of the week baseball when the Dodgers and the Reds used to play the pregame. Used to always be talking about how great Pete Rose was, Charlie Hustle. He didn't have the ability like most players, right, but he hustled so well and he played so well. And it just inspired everybody. And when I saw Pete Rose play and I saw his uniform, and I knew from there, when I saw that man uniform, how dirty it was, I said, that's what I want to do. I said, now, that's a baseball player.
Now, it's interesting you bring up Pete Rose, and I think it would be important to just briefly touch on. Obviously, he ascended to the heights of Major League Baseball and then got himself in trouble, as it were, gambling.
Yeah. Well, Frank, we all have gotten ourselves in trouble. Yep. If the reality, if God judged every last person for their troubles, we all should be dead, right?
Amen.
We all should be persecuted and locked up somewhere and thrown the, you know, throw the key away on us, you know, because we all have fallen short. And Pete Rose was no different than every other mankind that has fallen short at the pinnacle of a career. And it's the same thing with sexual sin and living a sinful life. You know, Pete Rose lived a sinful life just like Daryl Strawberry and many others, you know. And so what do we hold that over his head? We dangle it over his head. We take away from what he did on the baseball field because he made some mistakes. We've all made mistakes. Yeah. You know, I'm so glad God didn't judge me, because if it did, I should be in the grave right now. I shouldn't be standing here living in St. Louis, preaching the gospel and doing what I'm doing. But it's because of the grace of God. And, you know, I think as a society, we never give each other grace. We want to make opinions about people. You know, people in places like the news and television, they want to make opinions about people. Well, if you go look in their closet, I guarantee you some skeletons in their closet too.
Sure.
But, you know, they never come out because they're the ones on the news talking about everybody else's problems. See, but I know for sure the fact the Bible didn't say some of us would fall short. It says every last one of us would fall short. We all would fall short because of Adam and Eve in the garden and the sin that opened up to everybody to be a sinner that came here and fallen short. So Pete Rose was just a phenomenal baseball player. If we talk about him as a baseball player, what he did, he should be in the Hall of Fame with the rest of the guys in the Hall of Fame. How many guys in the Hall of Fame are hypocrites? How many guys in the Hall of Fame are sinners? Every last one of them. They fell short in some way. Somebody just didn't expose them. Pete got exposed. I got exposed. Others get exposed. That's life. But you know what? You move on. You don't get bitter about it. See, I'm not bitter about what happened to me. I'm grateful because I know I have eternal life today. But I don't know about Pete. I realized that he was a wonderful baseball player, and they should really honor him for what he accomplished on the baseball field.
Yeah, I would completely agree. I've been on record as saying he should be in the Hall of Fame. Another conversation for another time. So let's get back to, so playing for Crenshaw, see Pete Rose, the Reds, the Dodgers, you want to be a professional baseball player. Did you have a successful high school career sports-wise, and then did you play college? Did you just jump right to pros? Talk about those days.
I had a very successful high school career at Crenshaw High, not only in baseball, but in basketball. We won the city championship in my year, 1980. We beat Kennedy, Stuart Gray, and them at UCLA and went on to Oakland, and we lost there. Then I come straight to the baseball field. Scouts waiting for me. I hadn't put on a baseball practice uniform or nothing. Go out and play my first game, probably went like 0-for-3, three punch outs. You know, but they had seen me before my junior year when they drafted four players off my team, and our third baseman, the most noticeable player was Chris Brown, and he got drafted by the San Francisco Giants. And scouts that drafted him, George Genevieve, he said that to me that I look like the next Willie McCovey, you know, coming. But he said, I know I won't have a chance to draft you because you're probably going to go pretty high in the draft. And there I was in my senior year coming out to play. And I struggled in my senior year as we got going because I missed so much baseball practice. And there was, I finally put the pieces together, and I just started tearing the cover off the baseball. And then scouts started taking off their hats and just shaking their heads and leaving the game. And, you know, the scout from the Mets kept saying, it's going to be between you and Billy Bean. He said, we have the number one and number three pick. We said, we know that second pick, if you're not that second pick, we'll get you on the third pick. I said, I was like, whatever, I just want to play. And Toronto had their second pick, but day of the draft came, there it was. I was the number one pick of the draft out of Crenshaw High. And I have to thank my coaches, like Coach Willie West and Joe Weekly, my basketball coaches, Coach Brooks Hurst, my baseball coach, Coach Mr. Mosley, my summer ball coach, and Coach Earl Brown. All these people had a big part of my life and played a big father part of my life because I didn't have a father, and they guided me into like, you can make it, you can be whatever you want to be. And had it not been for those coaches, Frank, I don't think I would have been the player I turned out to be.
Yeah, amen. Daryl Strawberry, my guest, his new book, Turn Your Season Around. So let's talk about, if we can, 17 years in the majors. Obviously, you won 4 World Series, you were an All-Star 8 times over, you had a very successful career, but you also struggled spiritually and in your personal life throughout those 17 years.
No question about it. I had a very successful major league career, winning Rookie of the Year, 8-time All-Star, 4 championships, did it all, 30-30, you know, had all kind of seasons, breaking all kind of records, doing all kind of things. But on the inside, I was toxic. I was broken on the inside. I was depleted on the inside. I had nothing. I just had a bunch of success, fame, money, lifestyle, women all over the place, committing adultery all the time. I mean, just living any old kind of way, just because they say you can live that way. Because guess what? You're Daryl Strawberry. You know, you can go out and buy the greatest house and car, the diamond Rolex watch, the earrings, the jewelry around your neck. I mean, just all kind of foolishness and living from the outside perspective. And people believe that you have it all together. And I really didn't have it all together. On the inside, my whole house was on fire. And it came burning down. Eventually, like I said, because my father was an alcoholic, and I realized the rejection left me broken. I always said my pain led me to my greatness, but my greatness would eventually lead me to my destructive behavior. So, you know, people say, well, you should be well when you have money. Well, if that's the case, then more celebrities should be living and shouldn't be dead from overdosing because of using drugs and having so much money and not being happy. And I was that same person. I got consumed with just every earthly thing to try to satisfy that empty soul on the inside, and it never worked. I mean, I tried so many things, Frank, and it darn near killed me. And because of the grace of God, you know, I'm able to stand today and be a man of principle, and so I'm grateful for God's grace.
Yeah, amen. I'm prompted to ask you this question, and you mentioned Gary Carter. Now, a lot of us followed him, great baseball player, and we knew he was Christian. Talk about your relationship and your friendship with Gary Carter.
It was just an incredible relationship and friendship, you know, when I saw him. And I just remember him one day telling me, he says, baseball is not going to be your answer. He just said, God's going to use you one day. You think it's baseball, contracts, money, but it's not. He says, God's going to use you mightily for his kingdom. He says, I can see your heart, and you have the wonderful heart that God's going to use. And I was impressed with his life because he lived his life the right way. He was successful, Hall of Fame, you know, money, stuff like that. But he wasn't consumed with that. He was more concerned about his relationship with God and going home to his family every day after ball games and when we got back from the road. And I was impressed with that because the fact he would go out to dinner with us on the road, and he would say after dinner, I'll see you guys at the ballpark tomorrow. And he jumps in a cab and go back to the hotel. And the rest of us, guess what? We scattered to go somewhere to chase life. And he never condemned us. We come to the ballpark the next day. He never said anything bad about what we were doing or talked about. He was just talking about how good it's nice to be out with the fellas and have dinner. And he know probably a bunch of us been out all night hanging out and doing something we wasn't supposed to be doing because, you know, a lot of times people was persecuting him. Because everybody was like, come on, Gary, have a drink. He was like, no, you know, I drink milk, you know. And I kind of just wish, man, I kind of wish I would have took no from him. He was drinking milk because His body was the living temple of God. While the rest of us drinking alcohol and doing all other kind of things, you know, he didn't chase girls. He didn't go to strip clubs. He didn't do the things that all the rest of us was doing in that lifestyle. And I admired him and Mookie Wilson because they never got caught into that lifestyle, and they were professionals about who they were.
You're listening to the undeniable voice of Daryl Strawberry. His new book is Turn Your Season Around. We're going to break a tad early, and when we return, I want to spend the duration of the interview talking about new life in Christ. How did Daryl get saved? What is his life about now? Talk about his incredible new book, which I've read twice, and I've got some comments I want to share with Daryl on the air. But my guest for the hour is Daryl Strawberry. His book is available at all the usual places. It's entitled Turn Your Season Around. And we will continue with more of Daryl Strawberry as we continue with this, the Frank Sontag Show. Welcome back to the Frank Sontag Show. A special blessing for me today for this hour. My guest for the entire duration is author of a brand new book entitled Turn Your Season Around. Daryl Strawberry is with me. Now, Daryl, I wanted to make sure and spend a good portion of the hour talking about your transformation, talking about the Lord, talking about preaching, talking about writing a book. So let me just set this up, and then you can go anywhere you want. We've talked a bit about your success in Major League Baseball. We haven't really talked about some of your stumbles, if you want to throw that in as well. But I think the question that's important to ask is, how did you get saved? What happened to you? At what point in your life did you give your life to Christ?
Well, first of all, Frank, I just want to say thank you again for taking time out of your schedule and having me on. You're one of my best friends, and I just really appreciate you more than you can ever imagine. You know, God brought you into my life, and we just became like brothers, and I appreciate that more than anything, because when I look back over my life and I look at all the people turning their back on me because of, you know, the fall of my life, I realized that they really wasn't friends. I realized they were just there because, guess what? I was Daryl Strawberry, Major League Baseball player, and I brought a lot to the table, you know. And I realized that once my career was over and I was $3 million in debt and I was in drug addiction and I was lost, that God would bring this woman into my life. There was not a woman would touch me because I didn't have earthly things, and the fame and the money and all that was gone. But he brought this woman into my life, who's my wife today, Tracy. And she was banging on doors. I was shooting dope and smoking crack, and she was banging on dope house doors, pulling me out down in South Florida a little bit over 18 years ago. And so many people were saying, well, just leave him there and let him be. And she goes, no, he's very sick, and, you know, he needs help, and he's a good person. And she was the only one that would touch me, you know, during that process. And she would pull me out of dope houses and say, God's got a plan for your life. I see it all over you. You just can't see it. I says, why don't you let God just leave me here and let me die? And she said, you're just not that lucky. So I knew right then that was God speaking through her for me. And she would eventually lead me back to the Lord, because I had accepted the Lord in 91 at a crusade in California, a more surreal crusade in California. Got radically saved. The power of God came over me, and I just knew I was saved. But one thing I miss, and what everybody missed, they get the conversion, but they never get the discipleship. Yeah. And when you don't get the discipleship, then you don't have a foundation. Now you built your house on the sand, and when the storm comes, boom, it just wipes it away. And that's what it did to me. And I just remember being broken for all those years. And then I remember God using Tracy to bring me and snatch me out of the pit, the darkness, death, hell, where I was. And he would use her to snatch me out of the pit, to lead me back into church, and to sit me for 7 years. Listen, folks, on the air, 7 years God sat me to be discipled, so he can equip me. So he knew once I got in the pulpit that I would be equipped with the word, where the enemy couldn't put a chokehold on me and strangle me anymore. Because that's what the enemy does to us that don't know the word, and some that do know the word. God trained me not to play in the enemy territory. Stay away from his territory. And that's what I did. And I went on, and my life started with nothing with Tracy. See, everybody just see our victory now. They didn't see our pain of me and her struggling for all those years together, having nothing, having no money, and just living, you know, day to day, trying to follow God's principles, you know, because both of us made our mind up that we're going to follow God. We're going to follow the principles. I don't care if we ever get anything. We're just going to follow his will for ourselves. And there it was. We started following his will. And I remember we had a little cigarette butt thing, where you put cigarette butts in, you know, where you from the coffee coin thing. We had a coin. We put coins in, you know, where the coffee used to go into. And coffee, where you have coffee and it was empty, so we used it for coins. And we had about $200 in there. We went up there and put it through the machine. It was like $200, $300. We were happy. We split it that between each other. We were just happy to be happy. And I just remember us living like that and saying, we're going to follow Jesus. And everybody thought we was crazy. But we knew that we was going to follow Jesus. And we never turned around. We never looked back. And we tasted and see that the Lord was good. And the Lord has blessed us and multiplied us because we stayed faithful with him. And we stayed in his will, and we did not go back to those worldly things that people wanted us to come back. I remember when I first was writing a book, wanted to write a book, and all these book people were coming at me. She was like, no, he's not writing no book. He's not ready to write a book. And that was before I wrote Straw, because everybody was coming, because my life was different. I was living there. She said, he's still not ready. God's still working on him. And I waited, and then she wrote the book for me with me, Straw. And it became a New York Times bestseller. And then from there, we just started springing forward in God's plan and purpose. And, you know, Turn Your Season Around came to be a book about transformation, discipleship, to encourage people that you're not too far from God, that God cannot reach you. But it's a process that you have to go through. You have to pass the test. You have to pass the test, and you have to keep passing the test. And I think the problem with so many people, I know in my time, they don't want to pass the test. It's too hard to sit. Yeah, it's very hard to sit. And when you don't know what's next. And boy, I tell you, I went through a process of sitting and learning who God and learning how to trust him and learning Proverbs 3:5-6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will direct your path. I started learning that, man. And I started learning Psalms 46:10. Be still and know that I'm God. And I had to just sit. I had to sit all alone. I had no more friends, Frank. Everybody like ran away from me because now I was starting to talk a different way. And I was talking about living for Jesus. So you'll realize who friends really are when you get bold about the gospel and live for the gospel, because they all start scattering. You'll see they don't want to have nothing to do with you. Mm.
Daryl Strawberry is my guest. He just made reference to his brand new book, Turn Your Season Around. I'm prompted to ask this question. I'm not quite sure where it comes from, but so you're talking about Tracy was really the first woman that said, look, you ain't going anywhere. You ain't that lucky. I love you, but above all, the Lord loves you. And he's got a plan for your life. And so as much as we are compelled to go, wow, that is a woman of God. She's an amazing woman. You have an amazing marriage. The truth is you, Daryl Strawberry, you still had to do the work. You still had to open the Bible and read it. And I remember you telling me a story, something, and I may be wrong, but something about your sister and you reading the Bible. Do I have that right?
Yeah, I mean, that's what before me and Tracy got the final pieces of being together, you know, we wasn't married and we were just living and shacking up and sleeping together and having sex and everything. And she woke up one morning because she had been studying the Bible, and I was living in St. Louis with her and at her parents' house because I had nothing. And we were living in the basement where she grew up at. And that's where we went back to St. Louis. And she woke up one morning and just said, I need to talk to you. Come from under the covers. I was like, what's up? She said, I just can't do this no more. I'm wow. studying, reading the Bible, and saying I'm going to follow Jesus. And she said, I'm not having sex with you no more. I said, what? She said, no, I'm not having sex with you no more. I'm not living like this no more. And I said, I guess I'm out of here. She said, I guess that's what you need to do.
Wow.
Didn't know if we were going to make it or not, you know. And she was shocked that, after all we had been through, that I would just pack up and leave. And I went to my sister's in California to stay with her and her three kids. And the two-bedroom apartment, there it is, the great Daryl Strawberry, $3 million in debt, no driver's license, going to live with his sister. Wow. I was like, man, God's got a way of humbling your behind. That was a really humbling experience for me. And my sister welcomed me with arms. My sister Regina, she was my favorite. I had to bury her about 4 or 5 years ago, I think. And she passed away from cancer. But she opened me with arms and said, you can have my room and you can stay with me. And don't worry, you can drive my car. I goes, I don't have a license. She said, I don't care. Just drive it wherever you got to go. Just get your life right, you know. And I got to my sister's house, and I remember the first night I was there, I took my Bible out and I laid it on the bed, and I was about to open it up, and God spoke to me, and God says, don't open that Bible. And I heard him, and he said, I've been waiting for you, and I just lost it. I just laid on that bed. I just sobbed and cried, and he says, I've been waiting for you. And there was a transformation came in my life. You know, I sat for 6 months with God, and I studied the Bible, and I started going to church, and I started going to help feed the homeless. I had nothing, and I was working at the church, just giving, being a servant. And then 6 months later, God would send me back to go back and be with Tracy. But it was the time that I spent with God that I realized that through that 6 months, he gave me the ability to go back and do it right, and just go marry her and do it right. And I went back and married her, and we started on our journey together. But that separation from her, not knowing if we were going to be together, we didn't know. We were trusting God. And she said she heard the change in me after 6 months. She heard that I was just a totally different person. I stopped sex. I stopped drugs, stopped alcohol. I stopped everything. And I just started living in the Word and just got away from everybody.
Daryl Strawberry is my guest. Share a little bit about the time when you realized God was calling you to preach. You, of all people, Daryl Strawberry.
Yeah, that's a really good question there, too, because I just remember he had brought me back to a place of being successful. And me and Tracy started to move forward, and, you know, the money was flowing in, and life was doing well, and there was. I opened up a restaurant in New York, and a sports restaurant, and had it in Queens, and we were about to expand into Manhattan, open up some more restaurants, and all my friends in New York are Jewish, and they're wealthy, so they always wanted me to do something, and they kept saying, you know, do this idea, and Tracy was like, no, you're not supposed to open a restaurant, you're supposed to be doing what God's called you to do. And I said, but this is going to help us. And she said, no, I don't agree with it. She said, but you can do it. But that's on you, but I'm going to pray for it. So she was praying that God would just knock me off my throne, just like my mother prayed that God would knock me off my throne. And there was, I had a successful restaurant about to expand. And then one day God spoke to me in the Manhattan party, in an apartment in Manhattan. And because he had told me to close the restaurant, and I didn't close it for 6 months, and he made it miserable. And he spoke to me, and I was looking out the window, and he says, didn't I tell you to close it? Are you ready now? And I said, yes. And I just lost it. I just cried and looked out that window. And he said, you have no idea what I'm about to do with you and Tracy. He said, the Holy Spirit is going to ascend up on you right now. And he's going to ascend up on you, and he's going to teach you the Bible. You saturate yourself with him. He's going to teach you the Bible. I want you to preach. I'm calling you to preach in arenas. He says, I want you to go study Billy Graham. I want you to look at Billy Graham crusades, and I want you to watch him, and I want you to watch how he preached and what the message he preached. He's not a teacher. He's an evangelist. He preached the gospel to repent and tell people to turn from their wicked ways and get out of sin and live according to the biblical principles. Come back. God is not mad at you. And he was telling me all this stuff, and it all came to pass. Everything that he said when I was looking out that window, it came to pass. It happened. I started preaching in an arena. Supernaturally, the Holy Spirit started teaching me scriptures and everything else. And there it was. I was going, being called by all kind of churches to come in to share my testimony, but they thought it was just a regular testimony, but they realized it was a transformation testimony by God himself, because nobody could know that, you know, the Bible like that supernaturally, that's never went to school. That, but if God calls you to that, then he's going to give you the ability to do that. He's going to equip you for that, and that's what he had called me for. And ever since then, I've never looked back. I've been preaching the gospel. It's been 13 years I've been preaching the gospel now.
Amen. And brother, you can preach. I can personally attest to that. Daryl Strawberry is my guest. We're going to break one last segment, and I want to spend the last segment specifically talking about your new book, Turn Your Season Around. I have some questions and I have some observations I want to share. Daryl Strawberry is my guest for the hour again. His new book is Turn Your Season Around, How God Transforms Your Life. More of the Frank Sontag Show next. Thank you for joining us here on the Frank Sontag Show. My guest for the entire hour is author of a brand new book entitled Turn Your Season Around. Daryl Strawberry is my guest. Daryl, I want to spend this segment talking about your book and then finally at the end talking about Jesus and maybe asking you to pray, but let me just share publicly what I've shared with you privately about your book. When I first read it, I was struck by something that was undeniable, and I'd love you to comment on it. It's not just a book that's like a biography or an autobiography. I told you, I think I texted you, that your book to me read like it was the Bible according to your interpretation. And what I mean by that is it's undeniable that when we talk about the importance of Scripture, man, it's all in your book. Not that your life story isn't in the book, but the Bible is in your book too. I'd love you to just share a little bit with the listeners about the realities of how Scripture is so prominent in this book.
Well, thank you for that. The realities of Scripture are so important. I think the Scriptures are not known by people. I think that's the problem why most Christians are not having victory. And I realized that through Billy Graham teaching that Christians don't know that the victory comes through Scriptures and knowing the Scriptures and meditating on them and eating the Scriptures, because you have to have them down inside of you so you will be able to fight the enemy when he comes. And that's why so many people are moved when the enemy comes. And I'm never moved when the enemy comes. He's just there, you know, because I know that I have the Word living down inside of me. And I think it's so important for Christians to be able to know that, you know, Scriptures, this is what's going to keep you from losing your way and keeping you in the right direction that God is moving you forward, because God already knows that the challenges are going to be around you. And my book is full of that, you know, and that's why I said no weapon formed against you shall prosper. You become more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus and not through yourself. And that's why the book's it's full of Scriptures, because I wanted to help people to understand that's how I am victorious. I'm not victorious because I'm Daryl Strawberry and I hit 335 home runs. I'm victorious because I'm not a victim. I'm an overcomer by the blood of the Lamb of what Jesus Christ has done on the cross. And I understand that clearly. There's nothing great about me. It's everything great about Jesus. And I think we don't speak the power and the symbol of the cross enough. And people don't know at the yielding at the cross, when you yield yourself to the cross and Jesus comes and he heals you, you know, from all afflictions that have happened in your life. And I think too many Christians never enter into that place because they don't know the Word of God. Let me just say this, Frank. Psalms 37:23, the steps of a good man, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Do people understand what that is saying? He's saying the steps. He's talking about every step that you take of a good man is ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. When you delight in God's way, now you have opened yourself to the victory of who God is in your life.
Daryl Strawberry is my guest. A couple of questions, and then I would ask that you close in prayer. You have, I would imagine, interviewed with a lot of hosts all about your book, kind of doing a book tour. Is there an area or something that's prominent in you right now that either hasn't really been asked about the book or something about the book you really want to impart on the thousands of people listening right now?
Yes, I want to be able to give people to, you know, the grace of God. I think we don't understand the grace of God. I think we deserve it, and we can't really move forward till we understand we don't deserve it. Because I think what happened in our society, people have made it about a black and white thing. Now, let me tell you something. Jesus ain't coming for a black person. He ain't coming for a white person. He's coming from a person that's been born again of his spirit and that's liberated and redeemed and live a righteous life with him. So folks need to get their heart right and understand that the grace of God is sufficient for you. You know, that's that 2 Corinthians 12:9. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. See, we are so weak and we dwell in the flesh so much, we don't even understand grace. And when you can get beyond what everybody else is talking about, color and this and that, because when Christ comes, he ain't going to say, well, Darryl Strawberry was black. He's going to say, well, he born again of the Spirit? Did he live according to God's principles? And he's not going to say Frank was white. Was he born again, or did he live according to God's principles? And I think people need to understand the grace of God. It's here for you while you have a chance. Take advantage while you have a chance to understand that the grace God is giving to you is to commit yourself to him and surrender your life and walk according to the biblical principle and live the abundant life. Everybody wants the abundant life, and they think it's stuff, right? Abundant life is not stuff. You can have all the stuff you want. It's not stuff. Go ask King Solomon in the book of Ecclesiastes. He'll tell you, I had everything. I tasted everything. But he'll probably say, well, you'll probably understand, oh, what a foolish man that would not follow God's principles and understand that God had given him the grace to get from underneath him own self, not saying that he didn't make it into the kingdom, but to get from neath under him own self from an earthly standpoint so he would have the right set mindset here to be able to continue to do the great kingdom work. So I just think that's the importance of what a lot of people don't understand. I gave my father grace and I ended up forgiving him, asking him to forgive me. That means I forgave him because I had to ask him to forgive me. And God gave me the grace to do that. And I end up leading my father, a man that I hated and had nothing to do with my life, and rejected me, and I ended up leading him to the Lord, and he ends up passing away like 5 months after, and God reminded me that the forgiveness was not for my father, the forgiveness was for me so I can get set free, and I can understand the goodness of God's grace. Mm-hmm.
Darryl Strawberry is my guest. Again, the new book is Turn Your Season Around. D, there's thousands of people listening right now. Some know the Lord, some think they know the Lord, some aren't interested in the Lord. Would you share anything God has on your heart? Maybe pray us out here.
Yeah, I know it's a lot of people are listening and still maybe straddling that fence and don't know if God is really good and God is really for me. You know, I've made so many mistakes. Man, listen, I made every mistake you could make publicly. God found me in a pit, put me in a pulpit, not even qualified to preach the gospel. Never been to school, but I came to a place of receiving the grace of God and his love for me. And I was able to rise up and become everything that God created me to be. From the beginning, God created us to be this, born again of his spirit. Ephesians 3:20, now to him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all we ask or think, according to his power that works in us. It's not your power, it's his power. It's not my power. It's his power. When you can understand it's his power, you can do far greater things than you can ever imagine. When you let your flesh die and you let your spirit man rise up and it's in God's working power, you are more powerful than you can ever imagine. God is great. God is merciful. God is a loving God. But God is a just God, too. And he's going to judge us all one day, you know, from the good and from the bad. So you got to prepare yourself. You know, he's going to judge me according to all that I've done in good and all that I've done in bad. But I know one thing. I believe when I see God, he will be able to say to me, well done, my good and faithful servant. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there were many trials and tribulations. Yeah, but you endured. You overcame them, and you picked up my book, and you picked up my word that's been here forever, and you believed the word. So I just encourage you, pick your book up, believe the word. It's never going anywhere. It's going to always be here. God's supernatural, and he loves you right where you're at.
We have a minute, Darryl. Not fair to ask, but would you pray for anybody listening right now that may not know who he is?
Father, I just thank you for this marvelous time that you always give me with my brother Frank. And Father, we have endured conversations, the relationship, the love that we share for each other, but the love that we share for you to help others. Father, have we taken criticism? Yes. But I'm thankful for the criticism because it's made me stronger and pushing towards you to lead others to you so they could know the goodness of who you really are. Your eyes are everywhere. Your eyes see everything. You know everything about us. You understand us. You understand our shortcoming. But in the midst of our shortcoming, Father, you reach down and you there with an open hand to reach us and lift us up. And Father, I thank you that you're lifting people up right now out of the darkness. You're lifting them up out of despair. You're lifting them up out of anxiety, depression, whatever it may be trying to come against them. We rebuke that devourer right now in the name of Jesus. We plead the blood over them right now. No weapon formed against them shall prosper. They're more than conquerors through Christ Jesus, Father. And Father, we uplift this air that you put us on to be able to reach the multitude of people, that they will hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, the love of your wonderful Son. Father, we know your Son is sitting with you at the right hand. We know one day that he's going to come back. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you empower us with great wisdom and knowledge. May we continue to preach the gospel. May Frank and myself continue to be bold and win the lost through the airways, through our preaching, through whatever you have called us to do, Father. And Father, we be sure to magnify you and give you the glory, Father. And we send this petition up to you right now, Father, and I ask you, seal it over every soul that hears this message tonight. And we give you glory because you have given us everything we needed. In Jesus' name, and we say amen.
Amen. And amen. 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 Daryl Strawberry is author of the brand new book, Turn Your Season Around, available at all the usual places. Brother, I love you. We'll keep in touch. In fact, I'm going to call you right after we get off the air. God bless you. Thank you for spending an hour with us. Always love spending time with you, brother.
I love you too, brother. Just get those golf clubs together, so because I come out with the butt again.
We will do that soon enough. All right, man. All right.
All right.
Talk to you later. And by the way, if you're listening right now, and if you are prompted to reach out to us at all, if that prayer meant anything to you, if we can help you, serve you, pray for you, anything we can do for you, reach out to me at franksontag@kkla.com. This is the Frank Sontag Show.